The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Susan Dellinger from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading to you from Oprah Magazine, September 2019, Volume 20, Number 9. This is the second of four installments of the September issue. Gail King shares this month's cover with Oprah. Both are wearing antique gold metallic sweater dresses. Gail's is sleeveless with a crew neck, and Oprah's is long-sleeved with a stand-up collar. Gail's layered haircut with its soft bangs glows with soft caramel highlights, as does Oprah's shoulder-length, smooth and gently wavy cut. Their makeup is bronze and with smoky eyes and deep coral lipstick. This month's headline reads, "The Key to Lasting Friendship and Why Gail and I Have It for Sure." The big wide O for Oprah Magazine sits on a gold rectangle in the upper left-hand corner of this month's cover. And let's start out this second installment with The World According to Gail. And up in the right-hand corner, we have a picture of Gail and her daughter with having their makeup done. Gail says, "Try. When you need a glitzy look and quick, who you gonna call? Glam Squad, which I think of as the Uber of professional hair and makeup services. Favorite daughter Kirby is a big fan. Newsflash, neither of us can do our own makeup. And introduced it to me when she came to New York for the Time 100 Gala. Kirby opened the app and scheduled an appointment, and a few hours later, the lovely Nicole showed up at my home and got to work right in the kitchen. The hour-long session cost $75 plus $20 for eyelashes, which were worth it. Two thumbs up, Nicole." And there's a picture here of an evening bag, and it's almost a cylinder, and it's iridescent with kind of the rainbow spectrum of colors on it with some gold on the end and a gold clasp. And the headline for this is Shine. And Gail says, "I love everything about this rainbow bright clutch. It's from Nina Shoes, and I bought it in June for Pride Month. I look forward to a time when we won't need a special month to honor the LGBTQ community. Until then, I'm going to carry my sparkly bag with, well, pride. $85 at ninashoes.com. And below this, Go, the headline Go. And there's a Broadway playbill and a picture of Lin-Manuel Miranda. Tell me Lin-Manuel Miranda is involved in a project, and I'm there. In his electrifying new show, Freestyle Love Supreme, which I saw off-Broadway a few months ago, Miranda and company ask audience members to shout out a random word or tell a little story. Then, based on the suggestions, the performers improvise clever and sometimes poignant raps on the fly. No exaggeration. I'd never seen anything like it. The Different Every Night musical begins Broadway preview September 13th. Miranda won't be in every show, but you can bet he sprinkled his fairy dust all over it. And under the headline, Watch. Compelling stories can inspire people to fight for a cause. That's why Global Citizen teamed up with famous people like Rachel Brosnahan left and Pharrell Williams to create the new six-part docuseries Activate. Each episode dives into an issue related to global extreme poverty, like girls' education and disaster relief. Starting September 5th on National Geographic, viewers in 172 countries will be able to see how they too can make a difference. Count me in. And finally, under the heading C, I would never have pictured Renee Zellweger as Judy Garland, but the Oscar winner nails the role in Judy, out September 27th. The film chronicles some of the star's final performances, a sold-out run that opened in December 1968 at a London nightclub, and her offstage struggles. Hashtag Me Too moments before we had hashtag Me Too. Problems with alcohol and pills, and a never-ending search for love. At one point, a movie producer says to Judy, "It's your job to give those people dreams." I wish she'd been able to fulfill her own. And there are pictures here. There's one of Judy Garland in a red sequined gown. She's singing with a microphone in hand. And then a picture of Renee Zellweger with her hair dark and her lips red and a black sequined gown holding a similar microphone. And now let's look at the big photograph that's the first page of Live Your Best Life. And it's a scene of about five women in comfortable chairs, all pulled close around a coffee table in front of a huge fireplace with a roaring fire in it. And I think I spot wine glasses on the table. And they're laughing and talking. And we have a quote from Jane Austen from the book Mansfield Park. "A wet Sunday evening, the very time of all others when, if a friend is at hand, the heart must be opened and everything told." And what used to be the gratitude meter is this month called the High Five, a whole handful of things to cheer about this month. And right off the bat at the top of the page, we have a scene from the new Downton Abbey movie, Great British Send-Off. If you thought Downton Abbey had exhausted every melodramatic plot point, a tryst turned deadly, amnesiacs and abandoned brides, a pesky telephone installation, think again. The big sequel, September 20th, features the Dowager Countess, Lady Mary, and the rest of the upstairs-downstairs crew preparing for royal guests, England's King and Queen. Shine the silver, ring the butler, and may God save the Crawleys. Next, paper trail. Machines might be able to fold laundry and grocery shop, but can they decode Susan B. Anthony's squiggly cursive? By the People is a crowdsourcing initiative from the Library of Congress in which citizen archivists can transcribe Clara Barton's diaries, Walt Whitman's poems, and thousands of others, handwritten documents too indecipherable to be read by scanners. To help set the record straight, visit crowd.loc.gov. And there's a picture here, a little sepia, oval portrait of Susan B. Anthony with her signature underneath it. And then what looks like a postcard or a letter from Susan B. Anthony with a very elegant script. Next, supply chain. Taking a page from the little free library playbook, Arkansas resident Jessica McLard launched the first little free pantry in 2016 to provide non-perishable food like granola bars and hygiene products like toilet paper to neighbors having a hard week, month, or life. Now, nearly 650 community-based cabinets have cropped up across the country, from Oak Grove, Oregon, to Chatham, Virginia. Learn how you can lend a helping hand at littlefreepantry.org. And there's a picture here, and it is just like the little cabinets you see with glass doors randomly in neighborhoods that have free books in them. And this one looks like it has cans of tuna, cans of beans, and those little containers with cups of soup. And underneath it says, take what you need and leave what you can. And next we have a picture on at first glance, it looks like it's a crosswalk, and there's a group of kids and adults, street smarts. After his little brother's narrow miss with a speeding car, a safety-minded fifth grader, along with a friend in Medford, Massachusetts, proposed a better crosswalk inspired by similar ones in other cities. Painted to resemble a 3D roadblock, the optical illusion signals drivers to hit the brake. The innovative design was unveiled in April and has since popped up outside Medford's other elementary schools. Wise guys. And when you look at it, you've got the white stripes, but it almost looks like a reverse piano in that the keys are black, you know, and the black keys on the piano are white. So it does make you stop for a minute because it looks 3D. And now the final item, Star Trek. Have Telescope Will Travel. Dark Skies is a guidebook for the curious astro tourist, filled with info on 35 stellar stargazing sites from Iceland's glacial lake to Utah's Natural Bridges Natural Monument, plus tips for experiencing eclipses, auroras, and other celestial events. Your next dream vacation is written in the you-know-whats. And the picture from Iceland here shows the lake with all the ice in it and the northern lights. And here's a new item that I think has been in maybe one or two issues recently, and it's called The Way In. Your take on topics we're covering this month. So the question, your signature fragrance is more like, and there's a picture of lovely lavender flowers and a sprig of balsam. So we have 71% said walking through a field of blooming flowers, 29% said standing in the center of a forest. Next question, how many close friends do you have? And there's a cute strip of photographs, like the little photo booth that you just put some change in and you get multiple pictures. And we've got two women eating ice cream cones here. So, to how many close friends do you have? 89% said just a few. It's about quality, not quantity. And 11% said in the double digits, the more the merrier. The next question is cheese, hard or soft? And there are pictures of wedges of wonderful looking cheese. Cheddar, Gouda, Brie, and a couple of crackers even. 60% said soft, creamy is dreamy. 40% said hard, older is bolder. The next question, when do you feel most anxious? We have a graphic drawing of the sun. 42% said in the morning. Does anybody actually rise and shine? 58% beside a little picture of a quarter moon. At night, so many racing thoughts, so little sleep. And then finally, if you could have only one, which would it be? And we have a big fisherman's sweater, you know, the white cable knit with the big turtleneck. 80% say a cozy knit sweater. Then we've got this really sexy kind of gold glittery high-heeled ankle boot. 20% say chic ankle boots. And this month's Live Your Best Life celebrity is Naomi Osaka. And we have a picture of her here, and she's got this baseball cap pulled down low on her forehead and all of her curls just sort of spilling out from under it. And she's looking kind of sideways at the camera in this sort of, check me out look. And here's what we have about Naomi. Why we love her. For the quiet passion, the 21-year-old tennis pro, ranked number 2 by the Women's Tennis Association at press time, exudes on and off the court. What she's up to? Returning to the U.S. Open tournament from August 26th through September 8th to defend her title. What she can't live without, and we have 4 items here. Haitian food. I love Le Gym. which is like a stew. You can make it with vegetables, beef, crab, whatever. My dad used to get it for our family when I was little and we lived in Florida. I've also had it in Haiti, where my dad is from. It is completely unique. You have to eat it to understand it. The next item she can't live without, Universal Studios. I flew there with my sister in December just for the day, and it was totally worth it. We spent 10 hours going on every single ride, like Revenge of the Mummy, which is based on the movie and one of the best, and visiting Harry Potter World. I'm definitely a fan of roller coasters. The bigger and twistier, the better. The next item she can't live without, my parents. I've tried to pick out the most positive traits from each and apply them to myself. I get a fighting spirit from my mom and more level-headedness from my dad. I'm not saying my mom is irrational, but, you know, she shows signs of that sometimes. And finally, vacation. Okay, I've never actually taken one, but I plan to at the end of this year. I've been seeing lots of people post pictures on the Maldives, and I want to go. Oh, and here's one more item, moisturizer. I use it every day. Shiseido. It's really the only beauty routine I have in the morning. And now let's check out the Let's Eat section. And the singular sensation this month is Manchego. Sharp, sweet, and versatile, the Spanish sheep's milk cheese has a tempting tang that delights GERD connoisseurs and novices alike. And the picture is the outside of the wheel. There are three of them stacked on each other, and they have this very interesting kind of cross-hatched pattern embedded in the outside of the wheel of cheese. And then the wheel in the middle of the stack has had a big chunk cut out of it. Don't let fromage frauds fool you. Consult your cheesemonger or the package label. Manchego should be made in La Mancha with milk from the Manchego sheep. Manchego hails from the Spanish heartland, and no wonder exports to the U.S. are booming. Firm enough to shred and buttery enough to melt, it has a zestiness that's equally suited to pizzas and to cheese boards. What more could you ask for? And under sound bites, don't eat the rind. Unlike the shell of soft and semi-soft cheeses like brie, Manchego's waxy coating isn't edible. Manchego that's aged 3 months is supple and fruity. At 6 months, it's creamy and caramel-like, and by 12, it'll crumble and have a salty kick. And then, wine's not your only choice for a sophisticated pairing. The nutty character of brown ales, stouts, and porters brings out similar notes in Manchego. We have a couple of recipes here. The first one is veggie enchiladas with pumpkin seed salsa. And this makes 4 servings with a total time of 30 minutes. And here are the ingredients. 8 soft corn tortillas, 1 large white onion, 2 bell peppers, 1 red and 1 yellow, quartered. 2.5 tablespoons of vegetable oil divided. 1/2 teaspoon of kosher salt divided plus a pinch. 1/4 teaspoon of ground black pepper plus a pinch. 1/2 cup of corn kernels thawed if frozen. 3 ounces of Manchego, coarsely grated, about 3/4 cup. 2 cups packed cilantro, roughly chopped. 1 jalapeno, finely chopped, seeded if desired. 2 teaspoons of light brown sugar. 1/4 teaspoon of ground turmeric. 1/3 cup raw pumpkin seeds divided, 4 tablespoons of lime juice from 3 to 4 limes divided, 1 beefsteak tomato roughly chopped. And now here are the instructions. Preheat oven to 350 degrees. Divide tortillas between 2 large pieces of foil. Wrap and warm in oven for 15 minutes. Meanwhile, over medium-high heat, warm a grill pan. Slice 3/4 of onion into 1/2-inch thick rounds. Finally, chop remaining 1/4 onion and set aside. In a medium bowl, toss sliced onion and bell peppers with 1/2 tablespoon of oil and 1/4 teaspoon each of salt and black pepper. Grill until lightly charred and tender, 5 to 6 minutes per side. Transfer to a cutting board and thinly slice peppers. Transfer to a large bowl and toss with corn and manchego. Meanwhile, make pumpkin seed salsa. In a food processor or a blender, pulse cilantro, jalapeno, sugar, turmeric, all but 2 tablespoons of pumpkin seeds, 2 tablespoons of lime juice, and 1/4 teaspoon of salt. Add water, 1 tablespoon at a time as necessary until mixture reaches a pesto-like consistency. Make tomato salsa. In a medium bowl, combine tomato, reserved chopped onion, remaining 2 tablespoons of lime juice, and a pinch each of salt and black pepper. Spread each tortilla with 1 tablespoon of pumpkin seed salsa and top with vegetables, about 1/2 cup each. Roll up and place seam side down to keep closed. Over medium-high heat, warm a large non-stick skillet. Working in 2 batches, add 1 tablespoon of oil, then cook enchiladas seam side down first until golden brown, about 2 minutes per side. Repeat with remaining tablespoon of oil and enchiladas. Serve with tomato salsa, remaining pumpkin seed salsa, and reserved pumpkin seeds. Good to know, you can double the pumpkin seed salsa recipe and use what's left over to toss with pasta, spread on sandwiches, or spoon over roasted vegetables. And now the second recipe, Spanish ham and cheese galette. This makes 4 servings, total time 35 minutes. And here are the ingredients. 1 sheet of puff pastry, about 8 ounces. 8 ounces of cream cheese softened, 1/4 teaspoon of smoked paprika, 2 ounces of thinly sliced serrano ham, 2 ounces of manchego, grated, about 1/2 cup, 4 cups of mixed microgreens, 1 tablespoon red wine or sherry vinegar. And here are the instructions. Preheat oven to 425 degrees. From pastry, cut out a large round and place on a baking sheet lined with parchment paper. In a medium bowl, stir together cream cheese and paprika, spread on pastry, leaving a 2-inch rim. Top with ham, fold in edge of crust, then sprinkle with manchego. Bake until bottom is golden brown, 15 to 25 minutes. Cover loosely with foil if top is browning too quickly. In a small bowl, toss microgreens with vinegar. Serve atop the galette. And now, continuing the special feature this month on Best Friends, we have an article entitled Beauty and the Bestie. It starts off with a picture of a tall, blonde woman with her arms. She's standing behind this a smaller woman with her arms around her, and the older woman with the gray bob is in a chocolate brown dress, and the woman, the tall blonde behind her, is in this sort of off-white dress that's got this kind of tropical floral leaf pattern on it, and again, chocolate brown and kind of burnt orange. Because no one sees a person's gorgeous potential more clearly than a good friend, we asked readers to nominate the special pals in their lives who would benefit inside and out from a day of primping and pampering. O's Glam Team, hairstylist Ken Paves, hair colorist Amarin Aslam, and makeup artist Carmody was happy to oblige, giving updates to a few lucky ladies, a new look, and a new lease on life. That's what friends are for. And first off is Raina Lewis, 39, and her friend is Ilka Selby, 47. And we have a picture of Raina and Ilky standing at a rack of clothes. Raina's in gray sweats, gray t-shirt, and gray sweat, you know, hoodie, and her long hair is parted in the middle. And she and her friend are holding a bright, colorful blazer. And her friend's, her friend's kind of tall and has jeans and a snazzy little black jacket and a scarf and big earrings. And her natural hair is nice and curly and styled. Like many mom pals, Raina Lewis and Ilka Selby were brought together by their kids. Chatting 3 years ago at a Manhattan casting call, Raina's son and Ilka's daughter, both 10, are models. The pair discovered that they lived just a block apart in Brooklyn, and their friendship fate was sealed. Though they aren't neighbors anymore, Raina since moved about 70 miles away. They feel closer than ever, and these days Raina especially could use that support. Now, also the mom of 2-year-old twins, she's going through a divorce that's left her emotionally and financially vulnerable. Ilka says, quote, "Raina's at a tough point in her life and needs to feel good about herself again. I've seen pictures of her when she was an LA girl, looking all flashy and beautiful. She's still that gorgeous person, but she always puts herself on the back burner," end of quote. Raina admits that over the years, she forgot that LA girl. She says, quote, "I got lost in my marriage and kids," end of quote. Though she has many accomplishments under her belt, she studied film and television development, worked as an actor, designs jewelry, and has written a book aimed at helping women in unhealthy relationships. Re-entering the workforce is both daunting and exciting. Quote, "There are so many stories to be told in the world, and with my background in film, I would love to be a part of bringing them to life," end of quote. She says, adding that a new look could be just the boost she needs as she sets out on this journey, finishing, quote, "I'm ready to feel like my old self again, fearless," end of quote. The reveal. Ilka says, "I can't stop staring at you. This makeover is the first step toward reclaiming your black girl magic. Raina, I feel beautiful, important, and noticed. This is my time to embrace the lioness inside and roar unapologetically." Ilka, "It's like you're my daughter right now. I want to jump and cry and clap. Take it from here and run with it." Raina, "This is a new beginning. Me getting back to me." And the look shows Raina's hair still parted in the middle, but really fluffed out, and it falls well below her shoulders. So it's got its natural curls, but it's full. And she's a tall, slender woman, and they've put her in kind of an equestrian look. I mean, close-fitting jeans that kind of give you the sense of riding crops. She's got this... these long, supple leather boots, again, that kind of equestrian look, but they're very pointed with a tall, not too fat, but kind of chunky heel, and they're in a beautiful dark, dark, dark brown. She's wearing a white shirt that just has a little tiny stand-up collar, and over that is a classic two-button notched collared jacket that's in a black and brown check on an off-white background. And finishing the whole equestrian look is a dark brown saddlebag handbag. The blazer is from Tory Burch, and it's $598. The shirt is from Hamilton Shirts. It's $275. The jeans are from Levi's, and they're $60. The bag is from Cole Haan. And the leather boots are from Cassidy. And now let's look at Raina's new look. We have a picture of her with her hair being styled and then Carmen D doing her makeup. The hair and makeup. Raina's a little secret. Before her makeover, she hadn't cut her hair in 3 years. Paves trimmed her ringlets when they were wet, combed through leave-in conditioner, and let them air dry. Then to create bounce and even out the shape, he took random sections and snipped them freehand. Then her hair was lightened up with a full head of superfine caramel highlights. And he says, "I didn't want to do anything too drastic that would compromise the integrity of her curls," end of quote. Carmody, using products from her new Carmody Beauty line, available on QVC.com, blended coppery shadow on Raina's lids and rose gold highlighter on her cheekbones. A praline lip amplified the warm glow. The clothes, no mom jeans for this mom. A fitted styled paired with a structured blazer is comfortable enough on the go, but also professional and fresh. The kick of knee-high heeled boots brings it all together, an outfit that works for a meeting or even date night. Raina says, "Now I want to throw out all my sweatpants." And next up is Elizabeth Stivison, 32, and her friend Catherine Shue, 30. These best buds, who met as PhD students at Columbia, proved the theory that opposites attract. Though they share a love of science, Elizabeth is a self-described nerdy introvert, and Catherine is a social butterfly who pledged a sorority. Elizabeth grew up in the New Jersey suburbs, and Catherine is from Queens. Catherine is fashion-forward, and Elizabeth is, well, not. Elizabeth says, "I wear the same two outfits every day, and my hair is just how it is because it grows that way." But now that Elizabeth is ready to dive into her postdoc career as Dr. Stivison, she has an opportunity to undertake every scientist's favorite endeavor. Catherine says, quote, "It's a perfect time to experiment," end of quote. In the spirit of discovery, Elizabeth agrees, and she says, quote, "I had internalized the whole smart women don't care what they look like thing, but now I see that's not true. There are amazing scientists I know who do their hair and makeup every day," end of quote. While she's not aiming to go full-on glamour puss, she'd liked some help looking more professional. After all, she can't call Catherine every morning to ask what goes with what. Actually, Catherine wouldn't mind. She just thinks her friend is worthy of a makeover that would give the world a hint of the beautiful mind inside. Catherine says, quote, "Elizabeth's this fascinating person, and I should feel that wow factor. I want people to see what I see," end of quote. And the before picture shows Elizabeth and Catherine standing together. Catherine has this, oh gosh, long hair that probably is about mid-back, just a few inches really from her waist. And she's got this cute little coral and white polka dot shell on and some white pearls. And Elizabeth is standing there in, well, probably cords, maybe olive green, and a gray knit cable knit sweater that's just a little boxy and unfitted. And Elizabeth's hair, well, it's just parted kind of a little left of center, and it's just long and looks like it could use a little trim on the ends. No makeup, and they are standing in a classroom. So now the reveal. Elizabeth says, "Maybe it's silly, but in this time of change with grad school ending, this makeover is a source of confidence and in a way even comfort. My mind is open to all the possibilities of what I can wear." Catherine says, "You look great, yet you're still recognizable. I was nervous that you'd look like a completely different person, but you're still my Beth." And Elizabeth says, "I'm outside my comfort zone and surprised that I'm loving it." And the after picture of Elizabeth is really very charming. Her kind of dark red hair and her kind of fair complexion with possibly some freckles. Her hair has been parted in the middle, and she's got these long bangs that touch her eyelashes. And her hair has been cut, probably 6 or 7 inches have been cut off it so that it falls below her shoulders. It's still nice and long. But it's got a gentle wave at the end. And the overall effect with the bangs coming to her eyelashes is kind of a late 60s look. And then she's got some deep coral, but very subtle lipstick on. And she's got a gray sweater over a satiny pumpkin skirt, and the gray sweater has these bands of feathery fringe on the sleeves and at the zigzag bottom of the sweater. And then she's got these platform peep toe shoes that are kind of a throwback even to sort of a 1940s look, and they have an ankle band, and they're dark brown, and they almost look like maybe they're a snakeskin, you know, with a big, fat, chunky heel. And Elizabeth says, "I had such an amazing time doing this. It made me feel good about myself as I am." And now let's look at Elizabeth's new look, the hair and makeup. One word, bangs. After snipping off a foot of Elizabeth's naturally wavy hair, Paves gave her a long 60s-inspired fringe to play up her eyes, her favorite feature. He also added lots of layers to keep her look modern and deconstructed. Low maintenance, natural-looking color came next, with evenly distributed fine highlights. Aslam recreated the sun-kissed strands Elizabeth had before her indoor lab life. Brow expert Robert Gabriel waxed, tweezed, and used a vegetable-based tint to enhance her arches. He says, quote, "It's the most effective way to get instant fullness," end of quote. Since Elizabeth is new to makeup, Carmody did a subtle espresso-toned cat eye. Carmody says, quote, "It's natural, but her eyes still pop with her glasses on or off," end of quote. She finished with neutral shadow, nude lipstick topped with iridescent gloss, and a touch of highlighter on Elizabeth's cheekbones. The clothes? Sure, Elizabeth might wear sweaters and maybe even a skirt on occasion, but this unexpected combo of color and texture breaks her out of her rut. The fitted, feathery knit is a glammed-up version of what she's used to and goes well with the softness of a satiny skirt in orange, a versatile shade that eases her into color and pairs well with neutrals. And our third and final friend makeover is Diana Relove, 72, and her friend Marjorie Gubelman, 50. When Diana Relove spotted Marjorie Gubelman on the street in New York, she was already a fan. She'd been following Marjorie, also known as DJ Mad Marge, on Instagram, liking her lively posts about her fun-filled adventures around town. Diana, a yoga teacher, invited Marjorie to take her class. Though Marjorie could barely touch her toes at first, she was hooked, and the pair forged a lasting bond. Marjorie says, quote, "She may have started as my yoga instructor, but she's become my great friend and Yiddish teacher as well," end of quote. The two share a similar joie de vivre and appetite for reinvention. Marjorie was CEO of a candle company before she became, as she laughingly puts it, a middle-aged DJ who performs at events around the world. And though Diana's yoga practice is at its peak, she's ready for a new chapter. She says, quote, "I want to take my creative potential to another level. I still feel young, but with the benefits of being older and wiser. A couple of my girlfriends in their 50s have said their 40s were the best time of their lives. For me, it's now. I'm on the precipice of something new," end of quote. DJ Mad Marge doesn't think her friend needs a makeover, but hey, when your spirit is poised to soar toward the next thrilling horizon, a fresh look doesn't hurt. Marjorie says, quote, "I want Diana to have this makeover simply because she deserves it. There are few who are more elegant or have a bigger heart." And at the reveal, Diana says, "This experience was major. Are people going to ask for my autograph?" Marjorie, "Your look is gorgeous, and I'm not just saying that. You're hot." Diana, "The feeling is mutual. Should I go on J-date?" And Diana is pretty stunning. The picture of her here is she's looking off to her right with one arm up on like a ledge, and she's wearing this chocolate brown wrap two-piece. It's like a wrap top with lots of soft folds in it and a wrap skirt. So it is really this delectable chocolate brown. And then there's this blush pink, which is this beige with a pink tinge to it, unstructured cropped jacket with just wide lapels, and it's like a long mohair fabric. Like I said, Diana's looking off to her right, so you get this beautiful profile, and her complexion has this lovely little pinkish tinge to it, and her gray hair is cut in kind of a feathery bob. The hair and makeup. At first, Diana was hesitant to let go of her hair's length, but she finally decided to make the cut. And she says, quote, "I realized, hey, hair grows back, end of quote. Paves gave her hair a shag-like shape, layering throughout but keeping it long enough to pull back. He says, quote, it opens up her face and gives her volume and movement, end of quote. Paves scrunched in volumizing spray for lived-in texture, then used a curling iron for definition. Diana's gray enhancing shampoo had left hints of lavender behind, so Aslam removed them with a clarifying treatment. Carmody stuck to light-colored shadows along with mascara and a few false lashes. Rosy blush and lipstick plus highlighter on Diana's cheekbones and brow bones added radiance. And the clothes. Running to and from workouts means a heavy rotation of leggings and tank tops. In this next phase of Diana's life, as she branches out beyond being a yoga instructor, elevated athleisure, a high-style but comfortable jersey top and skirt, allows her to still look and feel like herself, while the earthy tones warm her complexion and hair color. She says, quote, I could teach a class in this outfit, end of quote. Well, maybe without the jacket. The cropped jacket is from Zero and Maria Cornejo, and it's $1,495. The top and skirt are from Urban Zen. The top is $595, and the skirt is $895. And now let's move to the beautiful section of the magazine. And on the very first page, we have several pictures taken full on and then from the side of a brand new perfume bottle from Lancôme. Hold the phone, it says, calling all fragrance lovers. Lancôme Idle Eau de Parfum, $96 for 1.7 ounces, Lancôme-USA.com, is dialing things up a few notches. The bottle, nearly as slim as the latest iPhone, is, quote, rechargeable. Simply take it to select department store counters when you need a refill, and can be paired with a protective case if you want to toss it in your purse for on-the-go spritzing. The juice itself is a modern, refreshing mix of citrusy bergamot, heady rose and jasmine, and warm patchouli and cedar. That was the ring of something special, right? And it has this sort of rose gold look to it, and the little pump mechanism at the top is definitely a rose gold, and the clear bottle displays the kind of rosy perfume. Eco Chic, it says, the roses in this scent are grown and harvested using methods that reduce their environmental impact. And now we'll move to the Feeling Good section of the magazine. I was against vaccines, but not anymore. Three women talk about how they came to see life-saving immunizations in a new light. Most people get vaccinated against diseases like measles, mumps, pertussis, and influenza because they fear contracting a serious illness and they trust the wisdom and competence of the medical community. But some believe the real threats are the vaccines themselves, and on this point, they don't trust the experts at all. We talked to three women who were once opposed to getting immunizations for themselves and their children, but eventually changed their minds. They shared their stories in an effort to create a more fruitful national dialogue about the importance of immunizations. Katie Glisson, 28 years old, of Jacksonville, Florida, who is an exposure scientist and new mother, says, studying to become a health professional opened my eyes. While earning my bachelor's degree in environmental and public health, I worked at a wellness center where some practitioners would say negative things about, quote, modern medicine, and that vaccines were unnecessary if you ate well, exercised, and took great care of yourself. One of them referred me to a website with a lot of anti-vaccine information. After reading it and articles it linked to, I too began to believe the conspiracy theories that said the shots could make you sick. Drug makers were getting rich off, quote, worthless protection from minor diseases. And pro-vaccine research was rigged by Big Pharma. In graduate school, I took classes in topics like toxicology and risk assessment, and it became clear to me that I'd been looking at vaccinations from a purely emotional point of view, not a critical one. The clincher was working on my thesis. The process showed me what it takes to do a rigorous study and get it published in a peer-reviewed journal. Experts in the field carefully evaluate every aspect of your research and methodology and ensure that the information is valid and useful. It made me realize how wrong I was to have thought the peer-reviewed scholarly articles showing that vaccines are effective and safe were all rigged. It also taught me how flawed the anti-vaccination research was. Unsupported facts, unfounded conclusions, stats without objective sources, biased antidotes. Today, I'm fully up to date on all my vaccinations, and I'm following the CDC recommendations for vaccinating my six-month-old daughter. When I think about how I used to go around saying that vaccines don't matter, I feel like I let my friends and family down. But I remind myself that at the time, I believed I was saving them from danger. I keep that in mind when talking to people who are anti-vaccine. I try to calmly share peer-reviewed, unbiased studies, and I point out when anti-scientific websites have conflicts of interest. Many of the people behind these sites are making a profit from selling products such as supplements or natural remedies like oils and salves. Just the other day, a friend sent me a long article about why vaccines are dangerous. While being respectful toward her, I refuted the article line by line, providing solid scientific sources, like data from the World Health Organization, for each point. Even if my email doesn't convince her, I hope I planted a seed of doubt. Jerry Young, 38, of Circleville, Ohio, a stay-at-home mother and aquatics instructor, says, "I saw a sick baby, and it broke my heart. After giving birth to my first child, I joined a natural parenting group online, something I felt an affinity for since I planned to breastfeed exclusively, use cloth diapers, and not circumcise. I read all the stories members posted about how bad vaccines were, that they could potentially cause brain damage or even death, but I also knew that vaccines could prevent dangerous illness. I was scared and confused. I really didn't know what to believe. So with my son, I just tried to avoid the shots altogether by skipping doctor appointments and lying about his immunization history, even though this ate me up with guilt. But then my daughter was born, and she had trouble gaining weight. I knew that in order to get a doctor's help, we'd need to vaccinate her. So we did. But once she started gaining weight at around 3 months, I stopped taking her in. My daughter was entering kindergarten when my friend's two-month-old baby came down with pertussis. He struggled to breathe. He'd literally start to turn blue. It broke my heart to see how sick he was. That's when it hit me. Unvaccinated children like mine could have passed the illness to that sweet baby. My kids could also get the disease, and it would be all my fault. Not long afterward, another friend's six-month-old needed a liver transplant, and I learned that he couldn't be around anyone who wasn't vaccinated. I started thinking about how dependent we all are on one another, and I realized it was my responsibility, not just to get my family, but to everyone around me, to get my children vaccinated. I reached out to vaccinating parents in person and in online forums, and I read some medical studies they recommended. To my surprise, I couldn't find anything that undeniably linked vaccines to health problems. I live in a state that permits philosophical exemptions, so my three children were allowed to attend school unvaccinated. But by the time my older kids were 9 and 6, they're now 15 and 12, they were totally caught up on their shots. My 2-year-old son has had every vaccine on time. I'm really proud of that. And I'm finally 100% confident in my decisions about immunizations. Jody Rose Crump, 47, of Herndon, Virginia, mother and writer, says, I learned that herd immunity can be more effective than prayer at saving lives. I was raised as an ultra-conservative Christian Scientist fourth generation. One of the core beliefs I grew up with is that you cannot mix medicine and prayer. If you do, neither will work. And if you take the prayer route, which you will, then you can't go to a doctor, take medicine, or get vaccines because that would show a lack of faith. Like a lot of Christian Science kids, I attended a summer camp in Missouri called Cedars Camps. The year I was 16, we had a bad measles outbreak, and all the campers had to be quarantined, sent home, or given the measles shot. I wanted to take a stand for Christian Science. I was like, I haven't caught any of these horrible diseases, and that's because prayer works. But my parents said I had to follow the law and get immunized. I'd never had anybody stick a needle in me. I was scared, and being given the shot against my will felt like a violation of my beliefs. I was supposed to get a follow-up shot, but I didn't. Almost 3 decades later, when I was 42, my dad died of complications from Parkinson's, and people in the church insinuated it was because he hadn't read enough Christian Science. Over the years, I'd gradually developed misgivings about not getting health care, and after losing my dad, I had a crisis of faith. I connected with some like-minded friends, and we found a Facebook group for former Christian Scientists. I began the slow process of leaving the religion. At that time, my kids were 12 and 9. Every year, we'd fill out the form for religious exemptions from vaccinations. But once I was no longer a Christian Scientist, I felt like I couldn't do that. I still wasn't convinced the shots were a good idea, and I had fears about an autism connection. Here's the thing, though. My younger son already had some emotional processing issues, and prayer hadn't helped. In fact, addressing the issues in public school is what really made a difference for him. My sister-in-law is a nurse who was educated at Johns Hopkins. When I told her how scared I was about the effect vaccines might have on my kids, she told me she was going to vaccinate her baby when he was old enough. It's safe for him, I thought, so why not for my boys? My sister-in-law was so kind and patient. She explained that the vast majority of children in the U.S. are vaccinated. I finally realized that herd immunity is what had been protecting me and other Christian Science kids. It wasn't the prayer effect, but the fact that people in our town had been vaccinated and were therefore unlikely to spread the illness. It clicked. Most people had the shots, and most people are fine. We will be, too. Today, I'm fully vaccinated, and my kids are on track with their alternative schedules. We even get flu shots. In the past, we were always sick, but not anymore. And at the start of the school year, I can confidently say, yes, my children are protected. And on a sidebar here, we have your shot cheat sheet. These are the vaccines the CDC recommends everyone get before age 18. Hep B, hepatitis B, RV, rotavirus, DTaP, diphtheria, tetanus, a cellular pertussis, HIB, Haemophilus influenza type B, PCV13, pneumococcal conjugate, IPV, inactivated poliovirus, influenza, aka flu, annually, ideally by the end of October. MMR, measles, mumps, rubella. VAR, varicella, aka chickenpox. Hep A, hepatitis A. MEN, ACWY. Meningococcal, serogroups A, C, W, and Y. Tdap, tetanus, diphtheria, a cellular pertussis. HPV, human papillomavirus. Min B, meningococcal serogroup B, and PPSV23 pneumococcal polysaccharide. And these shots are recommended for adults, influenza, annually, ideally by the end of October. Tdap or TD, tetanus and diphtheria booster, every 10 years. Tdap is also recommended during the third trimester of each pregnancy. MMR, VAR, RZV or ZVL, zoster, aka shingles, recommended for adults 50 and older. HPV, people can benefit from the vaccine up to age 26. PCV13 and PPSV23. One dose of each is recommended for adults 65 and older, at least 1 year apart. Hep A, Hep B, Men ACWY, Men B, and Hib. As we wrap up this second installment from the September issue of Oprah Magazine, let's listen to a couple of answers to this month's question. What's the nicest thing your BFF ever did for you? Brees Wilson of Elmont, New York says, I was working as a flight attendant, and right before a trip, the guy I was dating broke up with me with no explanation. I was devastated, but I had to go to work. Luckily, I was flying with my roommate. On our final layover, as I was sobbing in disbelief, she surprised me with an ice cream sundae. I couldn't help but smile. Carolyn Tasjian of Lexington, Kentucky says, cut my grass. We have a crummy mower and a huge yard. While my husband's been away for federal officer training, our friends have recognized that it's sometimes hard for me to take care of everything alone. One night while I was at work, they sneaked over and surprise. Jennifer Gibbons of Cincinnati says, my friend Tara asked me to be her daughter's godmother, and I gladly accepted. It has been one of the biggest joys and biggest blessings of my life. And with that, we've run out of time for today's episode of Oprah Magazine. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Susan Dellinger, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.